Blog Talk Radio.
And every one of you in the studio on tonight, you are welcome. I thank you for your continual support and for following Processing the Pain. Tonight's show is going to be a little different. I'm not sure that the Holy Spirit is going to lead me to teach, but I want to share some exciting things. I want to share some personal testimonies. I'm doing something that I have never done in the 5 years that the show has been in existence. So I'm doing something a little different, and I believe that I'm being led by the Holy Spirit to do it. And I want to talk about birthing dreams. And you've heard these shows numerous times, whether you heard it through the MCD Network, Woman to Woman, or you heard it through Processing the Pain over the years. I talk often about birthing dreams, about being a spiritual midwife. Amen. And so I have some very exciting things that are going on with MCD. I shared some a couple of months ago, earlier in the year. But I wanted to share some other exciting things that are going on, and I wanted to give each and every person an opportunity to invest in the vision. So let me start off by saying that we're talking about birthing dreams, a personal testimony. So I am Coach D. You all know me as Coach D, and that is the name that has been fondly given to me as I encourage, empower, and educate listening audience, helping people to process through life's pain, pursue purpose, and partake in God's promises. And I'm hoping that I could do this show without getting emotional, because every time I think about it, I get emotional. For the last 6 years, God had impregnated me. I would say about 6 years ago, but little do I know that the seed was there long before 6 years ago. But it was recognized 6 months ago. I mean, 6 years ago, I realized that I was pregnant. I realized that God had impregnated me with a book. I realized that at least for sure I was conscious in the last 16 years of the journey. And I knew that last 16 years of the journey, I was conscious to note, to journal, to write down. The things I was going through, all the lessons learned, all the knowledge that I was getting, the knowledge that I was applying, and the wisdom. And I was journaling this for over the 16 years. So I could really say it's probably been about 16 years that this book had begun, in 16 years. But it was 6 years ago, I believe, that I started putting it on paper, that I started making it a reality. And I think I've shared the testimony that I started doing my book called Processing the Pain, and then I got an opportunity to be on the Now Network with a show called Processing the Pain. So I took advantage of that opportunity, and when I took advantage of the opportunity, I stopped writing the book because I thought, oh, I don't need to write the book now. I'm doing a show. So I did the show about maybe, I guess, a year and a half, almost 2 years under the Now Network, not writing a book. And then things happened that God moved me from the Now Network. And when he moved me from the Now Network, I thought, that's great, that's it. I don't have to do this show anymore. And literally he came to me and said, no, I didn't tell you not to do the show. So that's when I formed and developed and birthed the MCD Network. I birthed that network, continued doing Processing the Pain, and I heard the Holy Spirit tell me, I didn't tell you to stop writing the book, Denise. Now I'm going, the Holy Spirit ain't going to call me Coach D. I didn't tell you to stop writing the book, Denise. Start back writing the book. So I started back writing the book, but I had moments that I just became blank. There was moments that I felt like, maybe I could have been in disobedience, or let me not say that I wasn't disciplined. I wasn't disciplined to just push it out. It took time. I had writer's block. I had times where I felt like I wasn't hearing from God. I had moments that I was going through just life. I had moments where I was processing through some pain in my own life that I had to process through so that I could be able to write about how I got through it. And so So that went on for years, stopping and going, and had a few people in my life that said, hey, how's the book coming along? And I kept saying, spring next year, hallelujah. And as of 12:38 a.m. this morning, the book, Processing the Pain, has manifested. It's in the hands of my publisher. That book is being produced even as I speak right now. And when I tell you the feeling of relief, the feeling of joy, the feeling of birthing this baby, and it brought me to the stages of labor, the stages of labor. And, you know, you have four stages of labor. You have early labor. That's the, you know, the early labor. You already know you conceived. That's the first and foremost. You've already conceived. You're pregnant. You know you're pregnant. You go through the process of, okay, I know I'm pregnant. Who am I pregnant about? Who is my baby's daddy? Who is my, and we're talking spiritual. So when God's giving you a dream, vision, idea, when God's impregnated you, you have to ask God, Lord, is this you? You begin to confirm with his word. You begin to confirm with your desires because you know that you've been lined up with the will of God. And because you're lined up with the will of God, you know that it is his desire in you. So when you have that idea to start a business or you have that idea to start a ministry, you know it's God because you've already been, you have already been in his presence. You've been communing with him. You've been in his word. You've been in prayer. And he's been confirming these things to you. So when you get pregnant and you get this, and you know that he's placed this idea in you, you can't hardly contain it. So you know you're pregnant, just like in the natural. When the parents find out, oh, we're pregnant, they're excited, they're joyful. Sometimes they go out and tell everybody right away. But it's the wisdom often said that you don't tell people in the first trimester because in the first trimester is where you risk miscarriage. In the first trimester is where you could abort a baby, where you risk losing it. So oftentimes, I don't know, the old folks used to say, you know, keep your mouth shut until you get past your first trimester. Once you get in the second trimester, they say you're pretty safe. By that time, the fetus is established within your uterus, and it's harder to lose the baby. Not saying you still can't lose it, but it's harder. So by the time you get to the second trimester, now you're telling people, oh, yeah, I'm pregnant, you know, blah, blah, blah. Same thing. Now you begin to share your vision with people, the vision God's given you, the vision he's impregnated you with. You begin to share with people because now you got to do the research. You got to figure out what I need. What are the tools? What are the resources? Now you start knocking on doors. You start asking people, you know, I need this to make this manifest. How can I do this? You may even start taking up classes. You may do various things to get the knowledge that you need, so that you can nurture this pregnancy, so that you could do the right thing. You know, there's certain things that you can't do when you're pregnant. You know, if you're pregnant, you got to be careful about doing certain things. You're not going to go bungee jumping when you're pregnant. You're not going to get into hostile situations when you're pregnant. Why? Because you don't want to risk miscarrying. Same thing in the spiritual. You want to be careful. You want to protect that vision. You want to protect that pregnancy. So we go through the pregnancy, and in my case, I have been pregnant for years. I have been pregnant for years with this book. And so I'm pregnant for years. Now, spiritual pregnancy is not like a natural. It has very similarities. But in the natural, we know in 9 months you're going to produce that baby. You know, unless you miscount it. You may think it's 10 months, but in 9 months, you're going to produce that baby. But in the spiritual, some of us have been pregnant for years. Some of us have had dreams, visions, and ideas for years, and we just didn't know how to birth it. We didn't know how to birth it oftentimes because we weren't healthy. We were carrying this baby, but we weren't healthy. We weren't feeding the baby because we weren't eating properly. We weren't eating properly, so that the fetus in us was stagnant. It wasn't growing. It wasn't developing because we weren't eating right. We weren't spending enough time with God. We wasn't in the Word of God. We wasn't speaking the Word over our pregnancy. So we were just stagnant. And you know, some of us can relate. Just stagnant. Have you ever just been bloated? Have you been bloated? And when you get bloated, you know how it is when you get full and you just get stagnant. All you think you want to do is just lay down and sleep. You're uncomfortable. You can't get comfortable. You're stagnant. You can't move. You don't want to exercise. Same thing with an overdue pregnancy. You've been pregnant for a long time. This thing is sitting in you. And any mother that will tell you who's pregnant, by the time she gets into her 8th month, she's begging, Lord, let this baby come. I'm tired now. My feet are swollen. I'm hot. I'm sweating. I'm miserable. I'm moody. Please. Let this baby come. Same thing in the spiritual. So here I am with this baby, and I'm miserable, and it's not coming fast enough. And finally, I get into labor. Labor for me, I believe I could pinpoint when I went into labor. And I believe this time last year, I went into labor. This baby was in me, and it was just bubbling up, and it's saying, I can't stand here no more. I can't, it's not enough room. I'm growing. I'm developing. And you got me in the box. Woo, Jesus, you have me in the box. I can't go any further. And so now this baby is in me, and it's uncomfortable for the mother, the person carrying it. Father, I'm saying spiritually, you're carrying this thing, and you're in the box. And it can't go any further because you got to make some decisions. You have to make some moves, but you don't want to make the moves because why? They're not logical. They're not realistic. But the baby is saying, hey, I'm growing. I don't have no room to stretch. Where are we going to go from here? You got to get me out the box. And out the box spiritually for you, for that vision, may be that God gave you a mighty vision to start a business. And this business is going to be a multi-million-dollar business. And he's giving you all the details of the business. He's told you what you need to do for the business. The problem is that you can't do the business on the beach. The business will not be productive on the beach. It's not a beach type of business. It's a snow type of business. But because you become accustomed to the beach, you don't want to go to the snow. But the baby is saying, we got to get to cold weather. Because that's where this vision is going to flourish. This is where you're going to be able to birth it. You're going to be able to go into labor and birth this thing. But you're going to have to birth it in cold weather. But you're still trying to lay on the beach under the sun. And that's not where your vision is going to manifest. It's called comfort zone. So you're stuck in your comfort zone. You can't do what God called you to do because you don't want to move. You don't want to go where God told you to go. You don't want to knock on the door that God told you to knock on. God may have told you to get a midwife to help you with this birthing. But because you're scared that the midwife is going to steal your baby, hallelujah, you're scared that the midwife is going to steal your baby, you're scared to reach out to the midwife. But the only way you're going to birth this baby is with a midwife. But you're in fear. Amen? So now you finally come to being obedient, and you said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do what it is you called me to do. So I knew that this time last year when I started getting uncomfortable, when I knew that God had been speaking to me a couple of years prior to, but I wasn't listening. And I wasn't blatantly, I didn't think being disobedient, but I just didn't think that was what God was really telling me to do because it wasn't realistic. I mean, it wasn't realistic for me to leave California. After all, my parents are in California. I have a sibling in California, nieces and nephews. I have immediate family in California. So I knew God couldn't be telling me to leave California. After all, he could not be telling me to leave my job of 16 years. That's not realistic. It's not logical. It doesn't make sense. But yet, I was still feeling this. I was still hearing God saying, go. Yeah, we can't birth this thing. is not conducive. Where you're at right now is not conducive to the birth of this vision. And after about 3 years of contemplation, in the last year, I knew what God was saying. But I was still in disobedience because I did not know how to, what God was telling me to do. I began to think about people's feelings. I began to think about the fear of what if. What if I jump off this cliff and God is not there to catch me? What if I move and I don't have an income? What if I go and this birth is miscarried? What if it's stillborn? All these what ifs, all these what ifs. And see, we get into the what ifs when we don't trust God. And God is telling us, we say God is good, and we say that God is amazing, and we say that God is omnipotent, but yet and still, and we say we're believers, mighty men and women of God, but yet and still, when God tells us to do something, we get stuck. And that's saying, Lord, I don't trust you. I don't trust what you're telling me to do. And if you don't trust them, there's nothing else more to say, because when you don't trust them, you're not going to be obedient. You're not going to be obedient to what he's telling you to do. And I knew I wasn't being obedient, because as much as I love the Lord and as much as I got on my shows every Thursday and minister and taught the word of God, I didn't trust him. I didn't trust him, not intentionally, but because, and I wouldn't have never told somebody I don't trust them, but my actions, not my words, but my actions were showing me that I didn't trust them. So I had to get in order, and I had to line up, and the first thing I had to do was repent. I had to repent to the Lord and then let him know, Lord, yes, wherever you send me, I'm going. Wherever you need me to go, I'll go. I have this baby in me, and I'm feeling the pressure of the labor pain. So now I'm in the four stages of labor. And the first stage was early labor. That's where you begin to feel the contraction. That's where your body begins to go through dilating. The cervix begins to open. So I'm feeling the pains of this labor. Here I am making what I consider to be drastic decisions, but they are definitely faith decisions. I'm putting up property and selling property in one place, and I'm purchasing property in another place. And even although that sounds easy, it's not. If anybody knows anything about escrows and selling property and buying property, it's a headache. It's document after document after document. You have to have the right financials. It's a lot of work, and it becomes overwhelming, and it becomes very stressful. And even during the process, I knew what God had told me, and I knew I told God, Lord, if this is you, then work it out. And so as he was working it out, I started feeling the stress and the pressure. And I can remember God vividly telling me, Denise, every pregnancy has labor pain. He said, the pain is not the enemy, because the first thing we as believers want to say is, oh, the enemy is attacking me. I want you to know today, if you're listening into this show, it's not by accident. It's been predestined from the foundation of the earth for you to hear. If you're going through right now, baby, it's not the enemy. Every birth has labor pain. It's painful. And I'm going to tell you what God told me. He told me to breathe and push. Breathe and push. So every time an obstacle came up that caused stress, I would breathe and I would push. And I just kept doing that, and I remembered his words, and I continued to breathe. In other words, just breathe and trust me. And I would breathe and trust him. And I breathed and trust him until I transitioned to a totally different state. And in the process of me transitioning to the state in that early labor, I went into the active labor, the transition stage. But in the early labor, the scripture that came to mind to me was Proverbs 13 and 12. And I'm going to read it from the Message. I want you to read it from King James. But for those, everybody is not comfortable with really the word. And so I want to read it to you in layman terms. So I'm going to read it from the Message, and it's Proverbs 13 and 12, and it says, Unrelenting disappointments leave you heart sick, but a sudden good break can turn your life around. And in King James it says, hope deferred will make you sick, but when it cometh, it brings forth life. Basically the same thing. So in other words, when we're waiting for this thing, when we know that God's told us something, when we're waiting for this thing to manifest, we could become disappointed. It could become tiring. It could become stressful. We're going through the labor pains. It's painful. We can't see the manifestation of the thing. When you're pregnant, women, you've been pregnant before, men, you've seen your wife pregnant, you know that you guys are excited about this baby, but there comes a time between labor and birth that you kind of feeling a certain way about this baby. Women, you feeling a certain way about your husband. It's like, don't talk to me. You did this to me. I'm in pain. I can't see it right now. I can't see it right now. I can't even be excited. I'm in pain. And Proverbs just reminds us. It speaks to the compassion of being disappointed. But then it reminds us when it comes. When that thing comes, when that thing bursts, then it turns your life around. It's the joy of it all. Then you get into the active labor, the transition stage. And this is where the cervix has opened up 47 centimeters, ladies. That head is now pushing down on the cervix and is breaking open. And the baby is, you're dilating and it's getting bigger and bigger. And now, you know, you've got maybe the water bag. By now, your water bag is in birth. So now in the visual sense, the spiritual sense, this is the time where you now are getting busy. You know what God showed you. Now you've done the lightweight, you did the lightweight preparation. Now you're doing the real thing. Maybe that may be that you're looking at building. Maybe you're now putting in place business license. Maybe you're trying to figure out how to do a 501c, a nonprofit, an LLC. Maybe for you, you're trying to get connections. You're doing networking. You're going to events because now you're trying to connect with people that are doing the same thing you're doing, or maybe connect with people who need your services. Maybe you're doing a transitional living for people coming out of prison, halfway house, or whatever that could be for women or for men. And now you want to connect with maybe probation department, parole department, city and county offices. These are the things. So this is that second stage. You're now, things are coming. Hey, it's real now. It's coming. I know it's coming. It's real now. I got to get in place. That's that second active stage. It's an active labor. It's transitional. You see things are turning around. You know, you're getting confirmation after confirmation. You're meeting the right people. Believe me, when God sends you into this earth, he knew exactly what he called you to do, and he gave you everything that you're going to need. He provided you with every provision you would need to birth the vision that he gives you. If you're having difficulty birthing the vision and meaning that you just finding that you can't, that you're coming against, not that you won't have opposition, but if it's so difficult, you may want to go back to God because maybe you're trying to birth your vision instead of his vision. So you may want to go back and say, okay, Lord, maybe I got something wrong here. Help me understand. Send me. Where do I go? And be obedient. Be obedient. Oftentimes, if you've been listening to my show, one of the things you'll find out and you'll realize as I say this often, we're not obedient. Sometimes God can tell you to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. He may tell you to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning and go to Starbucks. And you're like, Lord, I know this ain't God telling me to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to Starbucks. And so you lay down and go to sleep. But what you didn't know, that had you been obedient, got up and went to Starbucks, that he had somebody that was going to be at Starbucks right at that very time. And that person that was going to be at Starbucks at that time had property, that city, that he can't do nothing with, and he needs to figure out a way to make a tax write-off on it. And you looking for property because you're trying to start transitional living, and you need somebody to give you some property or at least let you use some property. But because you chose not to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning or 5 o'clock in the morning and go to Starbucks because you thought it wasn't logical, you missed out on your opportunity. God is going to ask us to do some stuff that just don't make no sense. It's not going to be logical. It's not going to be realistic. And those are the moments of time where we need to be conscious that, ooh, this don't even sound right. And because it don't sound right, it sounds, it's not logical, that's when we need to move and say, you know what, it's not logical, but I'm fixing to do it and see what happens. And we might find out that everything we need is in that one move. Everything we need is in that one move. So we're acting in the active labor. And Romans 8:28 tells us this, in the Message. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside, helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. He knows us far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. I thought it was weird that in the Message, Romans 8:28 would be saying that he knows our pregnant condition. That he knows our pregnant condition. And I just thought that fit in right on time with us speaking about being impregnated with visions and dreams by God and trying to birth those things. So the Message said in Romans 8:28 that he knows our pregnant condition. He keeps us present before God. That's why we can be so sure that every detail in our lives of love for God is worked into some good. Don't miss that part. It says every detail in our lives of love for God. In other words, you got to have love for God. You got to be a child of God in order for things to be working together for your good. They're not just working together for good just for everybody. He says he's working all things together for our good for those who are called according to his purpose, who love him and are called according to his purpose. So you got to have a love for God. You got to be vertically aligned. You got to be connected. You got to be a part of the team. Amen? And when you're part of the team, there's certain promises that God has made. There are certain things that he's going to give to you because you belong to him. There are conditions. Amen? So we already found out that we went through the first stage, and now we went through the second stage, and now we're getting ready to get into the third stage. So in the second stage, we birthed that thing. That thing has come out now. It has come out now. And now in the third stage is the afterbirth. If you guys don't know anything about afterbirth, man, it's after the woman has the baby. The fact that the baby was in still has to be birthed. That thing still has to come out of her. And that could be anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes after she delivers the baby. So even after you deliver this vision, there may be some afterbirth that you still have to birth. That's what I call in the natural dotting the I's and crossing the T's. You want to make sure you have everything in place. You want to see, does this dream look like what you envision? Whose baby do this look like? When you look at that baby when it first come out, when they first pull that baby out of you, the first thing they do is show that baby. So if the daddy's in there, he'll see it first, most likely. But they show that baby to the mama. They say, see? And the first thing the mama says, she's just so excited, she don't care who it looks like. But I want you to be excited, but you better look at and see who that baby daddy is. Because if that baby daddy is not God, then guess what? Things are not going to be working together for your good. They're not going to work according to plan. So you want to make sure that that baby's daddy is God. Amen? And it tells us in Galatians 6, 9 through 10 through the Message, so let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued. Doing good at the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with people closest to us in the community of faith. Why did I use that scripture for the afterbirth? Because you didn't just went through a tiresome ordeal. You still got some afterbirth. You still got some fine details that you got to produce. And it's because you're so tired from the actual birth, you could be so tired, and see, you still got to push with the afterbirth. You can't just lay there. You're still like birthing. And what could happen is because you went through so much turmoil in the actual labor of birthing that baby, when it comes to the afterbirth, the last few minute things you need to birth, you could become tired and you're weary and you want to lay down. And Galatians is telling us, don't be weary in well doing. That you'll harvest greatly, and I'm paraphrasing, if you faint not. So I'm saying, don't get tired, don't get lackadaisical, don't get sloppy in stage three, the afterbirth. Still have the same vigor, still have the same enthusiasm to push that afterbirth out as well. Don't start getting sloppy. Don't lay down on the job because the job ain't finished. And guess what? Now we get into stage four. Stage four of labor is recovery. And we're still not finished. We're still not finished with this whole thing. Because we think, oh, now I didn't have the baby. I don't have to do nothing. Mama, how many mamas know that you got more work to do when the baby get here than you had to do while you were carrying it? Amen. You have more work to do when the baby gets here. Because now you got those late night feedings. Now you got diapers to change and colic to handle. And you got to feed. And whether you're breastfeeding or you're feeding from the bottle, you got to clothe. You got to bathe. You got to provide for. You got to buy formula and diapers. Oh my gosh, it becomes overwhelming because now is the true test. The birthing of the thing was just to get you started. But the baby is here now. The vision is here now. You hear people say, I'm not going to work for somebody. I want to be my own boss. But let me tell you something. There are some things you need to know about being your own boss. See, because being your own boss, you can't clock out at 5 o'clock. Being your own boss, you can't clock in at 8 o'clock. Sometimes you may have to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning because your customer base may be in Europe. Your customer base may be in Africa. And you can't just decide you want to come in to work at 8 when you might have to be on a conference call at 4 a.m. You may not be able to get off at 5 o'clock because guess what? You promised your customer something, and that customer needs to know that what you promised them is going to be there. And that may take you into 8 or 9 o'clock at night. Hey, this BIRC, MCD Network, Processing the Pain Broadcast, Women to Women Broadcast, guess what? I can't just decide on Thursdays that I want to chill. I can't decide on Wednesdays that I want to chill. My family and friends that know me, they know on Wednesdays and Thursdays, don't call me at a certain time. Don't expect that I'm going to do something for you at a certain time. Because I'm committed to this baby that God has given me. Amen? And so now you're in recovery, and recovery has to do with your business. You got to work this business. You got to nurture it. You got to protect it. You got to do everything that you need to do. It's here now, and you got to make it work. And most people know as an entrepreneur that normally in the first 2 years of business, there's no profit. Now, I'm not saying that God can't do amazing things. The favor of God supersedes any degree. The favor of God supersedes any skill. I tell you, I just wrote a book that God has told me that when this book hits the market and people buy this book, they're going to have instant deliverance. Their lives are going to be instantly transformed. And I believe that. And it don't have anything to do with my skill. It doesn't have anything to do with my degree. It has nothing at all to do with Coach D. But it is a divine anointed book from God. And that might sound super duper spiritual to some of you all, but I believe when you read the book, you'll understand what I mean for those who know me, because I'm just a sister. And when I say I'm just a sister, I mean my roots is Compton, okay? And I'm not saying nothing negative about Compton, but I'm just saying I'm just a homegirl. I'll use double negatives in a minute. People often say, "Oh, you from the country?" Because that's who I am. And when I read this book, the the articulation of this book, the way this book was formed, the wisdom that was put into this book, it was not me. It was not me. It was God in me. Amen. And so I'm excited about this book. This book, I'm expecting for it to be hitting in a couple of months. I will be keeping you all posted. I am in the process of trying to get some things going as it pertains to PR. I have a publicist for the book. I'm trying to do a book release tour for starting here in Houston, Texas, and then to Los Angeles and to a couple of other places. And there are some things I'm trying to do for the book. But not only that, the book is going to also provide for the nonprofit. So the sales from the books, the portion of the sales from the books will go towards the Community Development Corporation. For those who have not been listening in, MCD, Community Development Corporation, is a nonprofit, and it's a nonprofit that's going to provide transitional living for homeless women and children. And we are trying to get that going. And so we believe that the for-profit business, which is MCD Network, Processing the Pain, will put on this book release, and a portion of those funds will go to the nonprofit. I will keep you all posted. If you would like to donate to it, it's awesome. I will be letting you know when I start having pre-sales for the book. I will let you know if I'm in your area for the book release. If you, if God places on your heart to give for either, please feel free to inbox me, text me, direct message me, shoot me an email at coachd@mcdnetwork.org. Again, that's coachd@mcdnetwork.org. Nowadays, everybody's using Cash App. If you want to send something Cash App, it's the $MCD, the number 4, Coach D. MCD, the number 4, Coach D. I've never done this before, asking if, you know, giving people an opportunity to donate to the book or donate to the CDC, but I'm putting it out there. I believe that it's great ground, so if you're sowing seed in it, I believe that your seed will multiply 100-fold. So I'm trusting God that he will bless every seed that goes into this vision that he has given me. Again, I want to thank you all for listening in tonight to this episode of Processing the Pain. I pray that if those of you that know that you are pregnant, that know that you have a vision, that you know that God has shown you, I pray that God will send the right people into your life that will help you birth that vision, that dream, that idea. Because I'm telling you, when you finally birth it, it's an amazing feeling. It's such a load lifted. It's a load lifted. And so when you finally birth that dream, and not only that, somebody is waiting for you to birth it. If you're doing it for kingdom purpose, you know, some people say, well, I'm trying to get a business, I'm trying to make money. And I'm telling you, there's a difference between getting a business because you're trying to get rich or you're trying to get celebrity status than when you're doing a business for kingdom purpose. You're doing a business that, yes, it's going to provide your needs, but your business is going to help other people. Whether it's helping other people come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ or if it's helping other people be able to get their needs met, I'm telling you, when you're doing it for God, he's going to bless it. He will bless it, and he will bless you. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And I just want to just encourage you on tonight, if you're listening in, you can do it. You can do it. You're a child of God. You can do all things that Jesus Christ who strengthens you. I know you could do it. And you just surround yourself with people that are positive, that's going to speak words of life to you, that's going to provoke you to purpose. Father God, we just thank you for tonight. We thank you for the words that went forth, Father God. We pray that there will be a blessing on every word that went forth, Lord, and all those who receive. I thank you for each and every person, Father God, that you inspired or encouraged to listen in to tonight's show. I pray, Father God, that the words were rhema, that the words became life, that the words encouraged and empowered them, Father God, to go out and birth those babies that you have given them, Father God. Father God, that you will be bring up in this time more spiritual midwives, Father God, that will help, Father God, your children, Father, that help the saints to birth these kingdom ideas. Lord, we just thank you, we praise you, we give you all the honor and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. I hope you join us next Thursday. And also join us on Wednesday. We're having an amazing 8-week journey to wisdom. We spoke the first week on communication, the second week on commitment, and last night was the third week, and we spoke about character. Next week, we're going to be speaking on integrity. Yes, it's called Women to Women, but men, you are invited to listen in. Matter of fact, I think our big audience base is men. So feel free to tune in. And I'm going to just take a quick minute. If you're listening in to tonight's show, you have a question or a comment, please feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. Again, you can feel free to dial 1 on your dial pad, and that'll let us know that you have a question or comment. We'll be more than happy to answer any questions or any comments. And I'm going to give that just a couple of seconds to give you an opportunity if you have a question or comment. If not, then we're going to go ahead and close out the show again. Oh, we do have a question or comment. Caller, area code 562, last 4, 0159. You are live on Processing the Pain.
Hello, Coach D. How are you?
I am great. Thank you.
First of all, I'd like to say congratulations. I know that was a long journey, but you did give birth, and now it's time to watch it grow. So, again, congratulations and great show. He ain't finished with you yet.
No, he's not. Amen. He is not finished. He is not finished with none of us yet. Amen. So I know that he has a birth too. Amen. Well, thank you for tuning in tonight.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you. If there will be anyone else that have any questions or comments, please dial 1 on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or comment. Amen. Well, I thank each and every one of you. Know that you are loved and appreciated, and I'll see you next week.
Anytime.